Call our meeting to order. Roll call. Trustee Atwood.
Here.
Trustee Green.
Here.
President Raftery here. Trustee Harris.
Here.
Trustee Sampson.
Here.
Trustee Genrich.
Here.
Trustee Dart is excused. Do I have a motion to modify or adopt the agenda?
Move to adopt the agenda as presented.
Thank you. Second by Trustee Harris. Any discussion? All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Opposed? Motion passes. Item number three, action regarding approval of job description and wage rate for the water utility clerk.
Just passed this out, sorry. We have been working on it until the 11th hour. With the help of Angie, Sean, Julie, Debbie, Carrie, Pat, we've got it together. Job description that we feel encompasses everything that we were anticipating. And then we do have a couple comparables, somewhat comparables, wage rates from Green Bay Utility that are attached in the memo. And would recommend approval of the job description, barring any questions or concerns, and the wage rate, which is $19.59 per hour to $26.51 per hour. That's the wage scale.
So do you expect the initial wage to be 19?
That is the step one, depending on their experience.
It's open for discussion right now. Can I throw some out there? Given today's environment of recruiting, are we asking for too much for 2 years related experience?
We asking?
It says qualifications and skills, 2 years or more in related. Should we lower that to a year? Are we asking for trouble if we did that?
Oh, we're looking at or an equivalent of education and experience.
Yeah. I'm just thinking if I'm a candidate and I've only got a year's experience, I probably wouldn't apply.
What are your thoughts?
I think that's kind of a hard call because I know when we opened up, I think it was a payroll position some years ago. It's amazing the people that apply. That maybe they don't have any experience, but it's like, I can learn. We initially had 3 years.
I've got some experience.
So we brought it down to two.
Two.
Okay. All right. If you guys are comfortable with that, I'm throwing it out there.
Okay.
I mean, I'll bet I take one recruitment call a day. You know, people looking.
That's good. It's me.
Will people take a lateral move because public service, or at least local government or state government, has a reputation of being a good place to work? Benefits used to be better than others had, but
I would think so, given the flexibility. I think that's been a good one that we've implemented with the summer hours. It's a nice benefit to have.
Kind of a sense of security, too. With
yeah.
Okay.
And yeah, Wisconsin retirement is a plus.
Okay, I'll open this up for a motion.
Can I ask one quick? Mm-hmm. Should we spell out what PSC is on the top of page 2?
I think we had it spelled out on the first page.
Oh, I looked for it, but I didn't see it. Was I looking right across?
Unless it was taken out, it might have been. It was in somewhere in here.
It was in there?
Yeah, it came out. So yes, it should be spelled out. Yeah.
Yep, absolutely.
You did it first?
Uh-huh.
Two other questions. This is open-ended. We had talked about maybe there's some uncertainty. Would we only be able to promise somebody a year or two? Because of the changes, this is now open-ended, a so-called permanent hire. Yeah.
Yeah. Really?
And the changes, are those the last two bullet items that you've opened it up that they'll kind of help out the main office, the front office?
That
wasn't there before. To
that
the
wasn't
previous,
there before,
yeah.
And neither was the assisting of the public works director.
Yeah. Last three bullet items are new. Yeah. Okay. Thank you.
I would make a motion to approve as presented.
With the changes of PSC?
Yes.
Yeah. Second by Trustee Atwood. Any discussion?
one other question. Should we have something saying, here we have required qualifications? Should we have preferred qualifications, like experience with the software itself? And experience in the public sector? Like just preferred, it's not required.
I thought we had something about the public sector. Public sector experience preferred. We were back to the last bullet point on qualifications. We were a little afraid of looking for water utility bond experience.
Really? Okay.
Because who's going to have it? The municipalities.
Mm-hmm. Right. Yep.
And they're not going to have our software on that. So that's where we were hoping with some peer degree or the equivalent, they kind of get to come together.
And with the hopes of whomever the person is that is hired has the opportunity to work with BAT for hopefully the month of December to learn the system, be able to ask questions, and be comfortable.
Would we want to be able to get an employee from another municipality and fill this role?
Wouldn't hurt.
Why not?
Why not, yeah. Negotiate a trade, or what are you thinking?
Well, that's where I come in with the preferred experience. Ideal, this is the ideal candidate experience with our software in the public sector doing billing, because you had mentioned at the last meeting that it was, it's different than normal bookkeeping, and it's a skill. And if we could get someone to walk into that, that'd be nice. But okay. Any other discussions? We have a motion to approve and a second. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Opposed? Motion passes. Thank you. Okay, now we start the deliberation of our. Brian, dinner at 6. Steak and lobster. Just kidding. Everyone on the phone. We'll have some sustenance to get us through the evening. So now we go into our annual budget meeting, our workshop, and staff will walk us through the current budget. I know some of you have submitted questions. Thank you very much. And let's see what's happening.
Sure. Yeah. What I wanted to start with here is the levy limits.
And let me just say one more thing. Right now we have tonight allocated for this.
Yep.
And if we can't finalize, we have it scheduled for Thursday.
Okay. Let's start with the levy limit worksheet, because there's a lot of talk about, you know, how this limits our capacity and other municipalities and whatnot. When this worksheet is completed, if you look at line 6 here, that's where they adjust for the net new construction that we have. Point with this cursor right here. So that right there, that increase over the prior years is $38,700. So if we were at our levy limit, we would be able to increase our levy by $38,742. You go to the bottom of this worksheet, there's some carryovers that take place, and you can take either B, which would be $1 adjustment, or C, which is a $9,200 adjustment. What we have going for us is this amount right here. To a mouse here. This is our debt, the levy for our debt. That's what goes into this levy worksheet, or this levy limit worksheet. When you look at what we're actually levying for our debt, it's like $1.2 million. But when you go through this calculation, what you want to do is just plug that number to get to what we're actually going to levy, because they're going to take that number and pull it back out next year. It's a little confusing, but they give us the levy, then they say pull out that debt, and then you can add your debt back.
Okay.
Okay. So, like Matthew was just asking, are we at our limit? No, we're not, because we're budgeting for $1.2 million in debt service, but we're only claiming like this $200,000. So we could increase our levy by another $1 million, basically, which would add another like bump to your rate.
So it'd go up to 8 point something.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
My man?
Hi, how are you?
Good, how are you?
Good.
Okay, then the other thing, which I lost here, honest.
What would that type of increase mean to an average household?
$1 million? I think I remember what it would go to.
About a dollar. For a $150,000. A dollar for every $1,000?
So like that, yeah.
So
$150,000. So that's not what's limiting us so much when I'm initially looking at the budget. The next thing I look at is what could we levy to maintain the same tax rate as prior year? We're at 7.21. Based on our equalized value and our assessed value, we would be able to increase our levy by $21,000 to maintain that rate. So having gone through this proposed budget, it's impossible with the increases we have. Unless we can find other revenue sources or cut other expenditures, it's not going to happen.
Excuse me.
Other constraint we're under is what's called expenditure restraint. And what this calculation does is it takes your general fund expenditures, and this calculation used to only be general fund expenditures, and then people started saying, well, I've got outlay in my general fund, so I'm going to move that over to a capital projects fund, and maybe I got some special revenues and I can move some expenditures over there. So the state said, not only do we want your general fund expenditures, we want your levies for these other funds. So we got the general fund expenditures, the public bus, compensated absences reserve, and then our debt service. Calculation, you pull out your debt service, you pull out this, there's a recycling fee attached to the tonnage of garbage we have. So that brings us down to this number, this 7,439,654. Those are our general fund expenditures. Then what the state does.
So that is our required levy.
That's kind of like our max we can have to meet this percentage increase. So you take it, compare it to the prior year, what is the percentage? It's 2.14. You have to round down to the nearest tenth, so that's a 2.1. I have to be below the acceptable 2.2. So I cannot do a 2.15, we're round to a 2.2, we would not qualify for this aid. And when you're looking at when you're looking at these percentages they're using, it starts with our net new construction, and you take 60% of that, and that increase, you take the lesser of that, or 2%, the maximum allowed is 2%. So some of the communities with a lot of net new construction, they'll be limited to 2%. We're limited to the 3.79. Then we add this to the CPI. It's an average CPI index that DOR calculates for us. So that comes up with that 2.2%. So between the levies for special revenue and the capital project funds and the net general fund expenditures, have to maintain that to qualify for this aid. The aid's around $100,000. That's been declining over years, but it's still $100,000. In the past, we did not always maximize this. So you can see for 2020, I'm proposing that we basically maximize that we're allowed to increase $153 difference. 2019, we had an extra $90,000 we could have budgeted for expenditures. We did not. 2018, we were $151,000 over. But that helped us maintain these tax rates. Mm-hmm. 722, we had that in 16, 17, and then 18, and 19, and 17.1.
So if we go over by $1, we're going to miss out on $100,000 worth of aid from the state.
And if we increase the levy by $1 million.
Yeah.
Yeah, we had the expense, we couldn't do it. Or we'd lose out on this. I talked to, I think, President Rafter, Brad knows, years ago at one point, we let the aid go for a year and kind of had a base adjustment. We just couldn't keep our cost up. So that could be an option for the future with that. Some of the items, I guess, what I'd like to look at is...
So what you're proposing, Julie, is a new rate of 7.36.
7.36, so that we're maximizing this expenditure restraint. And in order to get to that 7.36, we're still proposing to transfer $120,000 from the state into the sales tax fund. Mm-hmm. And we're proposing cutting equipment charges by another $52,000. The year prior to that, in 2019, we transferred $120,000, and we cut the Parks Capital Project by $13,000. The year prior to that, we had cut equipment charges and transferred $14,000. So we've been
pulling from savings
to a certain extent.
If you didn't have the $100,000 or the capital expenditure, or not the capital expenditure, but the expenditure restraint, what would your recommendation be in terms of increase to the levy?
Well, I think if Brad and I have been talking about, because we're looking at a reevaluation here. Mm-hmm. We're at 86% now. And I think what I would recommend is if we do that reval, at that point in time, set it up so that you kind of lose out on that aid in that year. So you can kind of make it up with the spreading and hopefully a lower rate.
That give you a new baseline then?
Yes. Okay. And we'd have a new baseline.
I'm just wondering if we do a reassessment, I'm guessing it would be a rather sizable adjustment. Mm-hmm. Right? Mm-hmm. Would it be easier on people to incrementally do that? Take a bigger hit now, but... Okay. Last question.
And anybody ask questions. If you don't understand.
If we weren't going to have a reassessment, mm-hmm. and if we weren't concerned about the expenditure restraint, $100,000, what would your recommendation be?
If we weren't going to have a reassessment?
Correct.
I would say we do what we're doing right now, but look at next year and see if we want to adjust that base next year.
When was the last reassessment?
2013 was market.
Okay. It'll be seven.
But he is thinking we'll be at like 70-some% the following year. The equalized value is just going nuts. Mm-hmm. And assessed is not.
Yeah, maybe this will help a little bit. In 2013, the market adjustment was done at a cost to the village of $93,000. prior to that, there was a market adjustment performed by a different individual at a cost of $160,000. In 98 was the last complete revaluation. And in 98, the village spent $277,000 to do that. In my discussions with Mike, was from the state statutes, when do you have to do a full? And he said there is nothing in the state statute that tells you you have to do a full. You can do market adjustments. And you need to do that once you fall below the 90% and you have 5 years to get that done. Considering we did this in 2013, you would have thought you would have had a longer time period. But as things are going crazy out there, it gets out of whack relatively quick. Last year we were at 90.6 or so percent. Yeah. So we thought, okay, you might be a little bit. Didn't expect to drop a full 5% this year, and the way it's forecasted, we could drop another 4 or so next year. And then you get down closer to that 80% and then get into the 70% will be a huge impact for the residents. So it's
so by state statute we
yes.
Within five years.
And keep in mind that the process will take basically a year and a half to 2 years to complete, start to finish, to be implemented.
Yeah, I think if you went in 2020, would it be for 2022?
Correct.
And is the 5 years for completion? So you got it, or is the 5 years for getting started with it?
I believe it would be you need to have it completed within 5 years.
So technically, you've got 3.5 years if it's a year and a half. Well, okay.
Okay. Yeah, and going back to the expenditure restraint, one of the things, and the league has been lobbying for this too, is to at least allow everybody to have that 2% minimum for growth and then add on the CPI. Because you can see the numbers fluctuate. Some years you can add more than other years, so it makes it difficult. Let's go to our tax rate projection here then. And this, when the staff put together the budget and brought it forward, we started chipping away a little bit. This $8,000, the election, because we're going to have the four elections, it had a significant jump. I scaled it back by $8,000 because we didn't have a spring election in 19, so we're hoping we can carry that money forward into 20. Did I say 18 or 19? Carry it into 20 to allow for Debbie to have enough for her election. So. The community center repairs in this 10, 12, 51, 610, we brought that back down to prior year level. So it was at 71,250. We cut it by 65,250. We'll talk about that later because we have three repairs that need to be done. Merit pay, pulled it out of the budget. It was in contingency. Engineering services, reduced that to the 2019 budget level, but I believe down here when Sean made some DPW adjustments, he added back, I think, 2,500.
That is correct.
I did detail a little bit. The Old River Condo Trail, that 12.5, it just got picked up into the 2020 budget. We don't need it. We've got the 12.5 that was coming from fund balance in 19, and then there's some bond in money, too. So that project will be completed. Sidewalks, brought that back down to the 2019 budget level. And then there's a reallocation of the planning and zoning position. It's in the system, which is the payroll system, the budgeting system for 80-20 split. between the general fund and the TIP fund, and it's more of a 60. It's actually pretty close to 50-50. I'll set it up for a 60-40 for budgeting. So those got us down to the 52,228,423 after Sean made these adjustments with DPW, and I can provide that information if anybody's curious, but there's a lot of just add a little here, subtract a little there, and then that amount is $8,000. In order to make that expenditure restraint, the expenditure is down, so that's removing the LeBron attendance, which is what we're proposing. Take them out of the budget. And then reducing the equipment replacement fund charges to meet that expenditure restraint.
When you say reduction of the equipment?
Of the charges to the general fund. Okay. So that'll be less money in that equipment replacement fund, and I need to sit down and make sure that cash flow is flowing right.
So are we pulling from the fund, or just not putting money?
We're not putting money in the fund. After that was all done, we got the new estimate for the estimate for the general transportation aids, which is up $24,500, which is great. But that's additional revenue that doesn't affect those expenditures, so I can't mess with my expenditures. And then I did do a little tweak to interest income, because I'm getting a little nervous about that.
Hmm. I thought that was a little aggressive.
I know. It was calculating out into the, the grade again, I guess. So that would be the general fund levy. That was compared to the prior year, $86,000 increase or 99 cents tax rate increase. The public bus service fund. That, we've got a 17% increase in cost we've received from them for 2020. So I want to increase the levy for that. We're still drawing fund balance from that fund in the amount of $10,000. We should be able to do that for the plan of the 5 years. Bring that balance down. Compensated absences reserved at $10,000. Once we get that build up to what we need, payouts, it should be pretty good. We might be able to scale that back. This is the one that's hurting. The borrowing we did, as Britt warned us, it was going to add to our levy and tax rate. So then when we follow this down to the bottom, it goes through this calculation here. This is what's called the interim tax rate. And you take that levy and divide it by the equalized value with the TIT out. That's the tax rate then you apply to the TIT increment, which is at now $32 million, $7 million growth for the year. And that's the levy then we have to record. That's $45,000 increase. That's 5 cents on the tax rate. And then this here is the total levy, which is your kind of your operating, your debt, your TID levy, add them together, divide by your assessed value. That's $7.36. A 14-cent increase. So when I look along the sides here with the tax rate increase, the general fund, and we can get into that, the pluses, the minuses, the this, the that. 9 cents. We've got a cent, 1 cent from the public bus, 6 cents from the debt service, 5 from the TIP, brings us to 21 cents. And the actual increase is 14 cents, and that's due to the change in assessed value. Because if I ran post-tax rate using the 2019 assessed, there's a 70, there's 7 cent difference, so that's where you go from the 21 to the 14. This is where the assessment ratio is calculated. And if, with a market adjustment, we were to get up to that full equalized value, the rate would have calculated at 6.349. And this just shows the increase in the TID levy and the village levy.
So that's a half box.
Yeah. $21 increase on $150,000. Is there any questions on that?
And that is the max that you need. So it's the 7.356. Is that right?
It puts us at that max with expenditure restraint, which I wouldn't want to chip away at that anymore.
Mm-hmm.
Because we're already going to have to make up that $120,000 that we're, you know. Plus, like I said, that those equipment charges, I'd like to reinstate those if possible down the road. But I'll do a better analysis.
Well, and as we go through this,
mm-hmm.
at the end, it would be interesting to know what would the increase need to be had we not seen some of the savings that staff has put together.
Mm-hmm.
For placing fire, it's 150, right?
Yeah, pretty much.
So of that 191, 150 of that is placing fire. Things outside of our control.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Maybe I should know this, but I don't. But what's the overall context for the total tax bill? Would we have any idea what the county and school? County, I would think, is bound by pretty much the same levy limits, but school?
Coming down. The school wasn't, I believe that comes out at the end of the month.
Okay.
And then we'll have a better idea of that full tax rate.
Do you know if school is limited to the same kind of
school
inflation?
School set limits, but it's a different...
Yeah.
It's
okay.
A different calculation.
Thanks.
Once
do
we get
know
the
county is projecting down. I don't know on $150,000 property what they were mm-hmm. guesstimating at this mm-hmm. point, but
yeah,
that's the good news. There's going down.
I have a question for you, Julie. If we could go back up to the Old River Condo Trail project.
Yep.
We're going to have a carryover of $12,500, and I know that we talked. I'll need an additional $7,000.
Which is in the bonding.
It's in the bonding?
Yes.
You found money in the bonding?
Yeah.
Okay.
It was listed in the bonding.
Okay.
In your bonding worksheet. So, yeah.
Are we aware of any sales on that property yet? Anybody know? Have we heard?
Last I knew there was 3 pending.
Okay.
So hopefully things are going well. That's about $1 million under.
Yeah, there we go.
One of the things that didn't really draw the attention to it, but when you look at sort of the equalized value,
mm-hmm.
we're over $1 billion mm-hmm. for the community now.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
We had 67 million increase over last year. So.
Yeah. One of the things that we usually do at this point in time, too, is put together some equalized tax rates for some of the municipalities in mm-hmm. population size. That information wasn't available when I went before. So I'll check it in and see if it's out there and put that together. When you put it to an equalized value, we're pretty comparable
yep.
to all of our years. So it's good to know.
What was the last time we actually increased the rate?
I'd have to go back prior to
about 4 years ago, maybe 5.
Because 16 was 722, 16, 17, 18, 19, so that's 4 years. So prior to that, I'm not sure. I wasn't able to get my hands on that quickly. Yeah.
But so it's been...
Yes.
We've done everything we can.
We've been maintaining. This is kind of high-level expenditures, and a lot of this will carry forward to that budget highlights I gave you, but I want to... let you know, we've got the 2% in there for the employee wage. It's about $40,000 across all the funds. It hits the general fund for about $15,200. Health insurance, got there at an 8% increase on $37,000 across the funds, hits the general fund for 21.8. We have since learned that we're looking at like a 9.2.
Really?
Percent. But that, versus what I've got in the budget, it's right under $6,000 in total. $3,500 or so with the general fund. So I'm not proposing that we go through and make those adjustments at this point in time. I don't know that we're really finalized on that.
Not finalized, yeah.
So we'll see where that goes.
So the total increase is about $6,000?
If we were to increase, yeah, to the 19 from the 8% that we're at. And we've also talked about getting the insurance committee together and looking at really what are the employees paying, you know, as a percentage and co-pays. And we've got the interest income increase here in the general fund. Within admin, we had our computer maintenance contract increase of $11,000. The election inspectors, that's going to be our net increase. Like I said, what we're going to try to do then is smooth this so that we're going to look at a four-year period and kind of building up the funds to the presidential and carrying over so that we're more level with the money for that. The Village Hall building, we have carryover in there. The zoning code, that's done.
It'll be done at the end of 15 this year.
14,265 represents that cut in contingency. The $94,000 is our increase in the fire department.
Mm-hmm.
And part of that increase is due to that credit we had in 2019 that carried over. So the actual increase, I believe, is like 3.14% or so. Landfill. MRF charges, which is the materials recycling facility, that's up $23,000, along with the loss in the market. The costs keep increasing. And then our Brown County Sheriff's Department, increase of $40,535. We will be getting $60,000 though from the state. So that overall is an increase of right under $100,000. I copied the budget overview too. I hope you all had a chance to read through it.
Mm-hmm.
If there's any questions, that again hit kind of the highlights and tried to explain some of the bigger differences are there. If there's no questions, I'll move on to, I'd like to share some of the questions that Matthew has sent to us, because you all might have the same questions. Okay. And the carryovers. Yes, we are anticipating there will be carryovers. Nothing's been approved by the board. I don't want to show them as a 2020 expenditure because that's going to affect that expenditure restraint calculation. I much prefer to make a budget adjustment once the board has approved them. Even though the election, I'm kind of hanging my hat on that being approved.
Is it also true that because 2019 wasn't complete,
yeah, correct,
you can't,
yep,
without a net after time?
Yep. Yeah. And the board hasn't approved it, so mm-hmm, we really don't have a carryover there. The TV franchise fee, ran those numbers. We should be in that ballpark. One thing I'm looking at doing, though, is separating out that 0.5%. The state is reducing the 5% that gets charged to these providers, so Spectrum TV, and they're going to make up a 0.5% from their coffers. And I believe it's coming from one of our aid accounts, so that we're probably going to dig into and share. So, like I said, I'll separate that on the proposed budget we get to the hearing. 98,600 recycling, that's been relatively flat. I don't believe we've heard anything that that's going to change the 2 year budget. The building and permit and inspection fees, if Brad, if you want to touch on that a little bit.
Yeah, if you got to recall, when Kevin came in August, kind of did an update. He feels that we might be at a point where the cost to do renovations to your home is getting to a point where it's so high that the number of people taking out building permits to do that work will start to decline. So he, based on Kevin's experience, it's about a 7 year cycle, and we're year 3-4 in that right now. So we just want to be I'd love to say that it's going to stay the same or go up, but we want to be conservative.
And the question was asked about how much less are we getting for our $500,000 in 501. So if you want to touch on that a little bit, Sean.
This year we were witness to a fairly sizable increase in construction costs, 25% to 30%. We feel that was associated with the amount of work contractors. We're really hoping that we see those numbers come down next year. And, you know, we're going to get our projects out early, in January, early February, to hit contractors when they're looking for work. We were notified today, was recommended that Staten and Arbor Lane to receive the LRIP grant funds. That's great news. However, the state municipal agreement for that probably won't come out until February, so that'll be one project that will get bid out later. We cannot bid that, and we can't advertise that project until we have a signed state municipal agreement. But our intent is to get the street repaving project out early in January. I will be bringing next year's street repaving projects to the Public Works Committee November, December to get that contract out as soon as possible. I don't want to get it out in December because there's still a lot of work that is still getting done, but I want it out in January, and we'll meet with Chris. I know he has a couple of projects that he would like to get done next year, so we'll for sure have two contracts, and you know, this first contract that will go out will be a street, one of two street repaving projects with the Old River Condominium Trail project tied to it, and possibly a
Green Isle Park.
Yep. And there will be another contract that will come out as soon as possible after we have a signed state municipal agreement. It's just too early to tell you if these prices are going to continue. I'm hoping that they come down. And
from what we chart, what we estimate $500,000 2 years ago, when we decided to up it from 350 to 500, what does that 500 equate to today?
About three street repaving projects.
$500,000, we've seen what, like a 30-40% jump
this year. We hadn't seen that those kinds of increases prior to this year. Minimal increase. We saw an increase in the cost to have concrete work done, curb and gutter and driveway aprons, but nothing like we witnessed this year.
So for that $500,000, we're looking at getting about 30% less done than we thought we would be getting a couple of years ago.
Yeah, this year. I'm hoping that by getting these projects out early, we hit the contractors when they're hungry, we get better prices, and we get more work done. We may, probably have an alternate to the first contract in the event that we get prices similar to what we had received in 2017 and 2018, we have another project in that contract. Another street in that contract, we can get that done too. The other thing too I would like to mention, this year for the first time in a long time, the Public Works, the street department has taken on some street patching. And we're hoping to stretch that budget. We have budgeted $50,000 for the patching of potholes and utility trenches associated with sewer and water main breaks. We're hoping that we can extend that pot of money by in quicker response time by doing it in house. And we're going to continue to do more of that. I think we did about 12 patches this year, and the guys have done a great job.
That's great.
The election, that was, is there enough money in there? I think we've explained that well enough. Okay. 12% drop in the LeBron Road, and then that's eliminating those part-time positions.
If we could just touch on that a little bit. It does come with a cost that we don't have included in the budget if we expand the site. Currently, there is no camera system in place, the intent would be to make the site a little bit bigger, which makes it more maneuverability.
We're suggesting too that the hours be expanded to 24/7 all of next year.
Awesome.
And with that would come a camera. With that would come fencing and gates where we need gates. And
the backside of that would be hopefully that would reduce the amount of pickup on the street, saving those costs.
We're also suggesting that with those improvements that we eliminate the collection of recyclables and appliances. We have a box out there, and we ask that the people, when they drop it off, that they throw in the suggested dollar amount on the sign. Well, we're picking up the expense for those that don't pay at about $2,400 a year. So I would suggest that, now that, there are centers all over Green Bay that you can bring that material to, some probably even closer than the farm for some people, the Murph off of Broadway. If you go on to the county and DNR's website, you can bring up a number of DNR-approved recycling centers that will take that material. So.
Well, and they're staffed to collect fees. I mean, it's just a shame that we're not getting... It's just a shame that people are dumping their things and not...
Paying.
Yeah. Did you look at, having a fence up and maybe making it... dawn to dusk or the 24/7, there's not been any problems with other municipalities who've done that?
We've had good... Go ahead, Brad.
So far, it's been working out really well.
When it's unattended.
When it's unattended. We do the dusk to dawn, then you're looking at someone has to close the gate.
And that'll add up more than I think, probably, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
So I think with the cameras, proper signage... This year has been a pretty good educational year, really expressing to the residents to separate clean brush from your grass and leaves, and it seems to be working out really well.
And I know up front they're like, people love it. They love to be, you can just bring it down.
Yep.
Great.
But the one thing that have we considered... that 24/7 and unmanned, that's going to be a green light to a significant portion that appear.
It is anyway, though.
Well,
not when it's supervised. I've seen those guys check IDs for people coming in.
Really? I've never seen that.
I think we have some Alloy ones now going to appear Ledgeview, though, because they are 24 hours.
There is discussion about municipalities joining. I know there was a countywide thing, and... Maybe that'll move a little faster.
That'd be great.
I just recently talked to Scott, the Director of Public Works at DePere, and the Director of Public Works at Ledgeview, and we're going to meet end of October. We're discussing the possibility of jointly operating a residential yard waste site. DePere and Ledgeview are currently looking for a location, We're gonna sit down with them and look at the farm property and look to see if there's enough room. The idea being that this would be a joint facility, just drop off only, and all of the costs would be would be, it would be shared, and that would be likely based on population.
Good.
So that's a possibility.
And if you had to, you'd have to expand the site so
yes.
the cost could be shared.
Mm-hmm. Yep, yep. We really don't have a whole lot of expense right now. I mean, it operates well. Mm-hmm. Anyway, I mean, there are a bunch of possibilities. If we go through it, we sit down with Ledgeview and DePier and find out, we don't have a space to take on that kind of material. We'll find out. But maybe it's an agreement between us and Ledgeview. We're hoping that it works.
Work in progress.
Yep.
I like it.
It is, and we should keep in mind, though, that Ledgeview doesn't have the curbside services we do, and neither does DePier. So there will be more drop-off than Alway
has.
Good point.
So, yep. Based on the number of pickups that they do in here. Good point.
Yep.
So just food for thought.
That dirty dog.
That's good.
Got me.
I had specifically asked him when we sat down, he said, "Now you're not going to be trucking anything to the site." He goes, "No." All the residents will be bringing it.
Everyone.
And that, you know, that makes a lot of sense. He had indicated, we meet once in a while, that they had really scaled back on the collection of brush. And I don't know if they had completely scaled back and eliminated that service.
And I believe Ledgeview doesn't do it at all.
So yeah, they're gonna the residents are gonna be bringing a lot of material.
But that is a great service that we do offer.
It is.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. We should just know reality of what.
Yeah, I mean even the bulk garbage, you know, pick
yes.
up. But we probably scale that. We probably cut two of those a year.
Yeah.
We're doing 10 a year now, but we probably cut two more.
When we do have residents now who will call the village ahead of time, pay for it, and it's gotten to
Fine.
Be a known that if it's not on that week, so yeah.
Yeah.
I wish we could get more of the rental properties doing that.
I put
that.
Mine out there in November, found out that there wasn't a pickup in November, and said, "I'm not hauling it back in. How much? I'll be right down, I'll pay it."
It's a hefty payment.
Yeah, it was.
But worth it, though.
Yeah,
when
absolutely.
Great. The compensated absences revenue, I guess, in the detail, that's the property tax in that fund, that $10,000, and that's for those reserve sick leave balances and any accumulated personal sick. You're not paying sick anymore, right? The hypothetical?
Yeah, that one, just to explain it, I'm reading what I typed up, and what I know we have, I think something like 36-37% of our annual levy or annual amount in an unassigned general fund balance. What I was throwing out as a possibility, and I didn't know if this was realistic, let's say, just for sake of argument, the number is 37.0%. Are there any dollars available out of that unassigned general fund balance that would allow us to stay at 37.0%? I don't want to, I'm not advocating pulling any money out of there to lower the percentage, but if we were able to maintain the same percentage, could we not have that money there and use it to help offset any kind of increase to the residents? That's what I was trying to get at. So not just to pull for the sake of pulling, but if we can maintain the same percentage, would it work? And I don't think it's going to.
Yeah, based on mm-hmm. what we're already applying and some of these other things that we have, and when we're looking at our bond rating, they go back to that fund balance.
Oh, yeah, that's why I
don't
want to mess with that at all.
And we have to explain any draws. We don't want any unexpected draws mm-hmm. is what we don't want to
do. That's where that question came from.
How many draws are we planning in general?
At this point, we have nothing in there for 2020. And it'll be difficult to get anything in there for 2020 because of those expenditures.
Mm-hmm.
$2,500 increase, and that is for professional construction materials testing?
Yes, yeah, that's new this year. We've hired AET, American Engineering Testing, to come out and test the base that's been placed, the density of that, density of asphalt, and to test concrete, just to make sure that the material that we're receiving in the placement meets village spec. We don't have a reconstruct project next year, but we'll have two repaving projects, and I want to randomly test just to make sure the contractor is meeting spec, keeping them honest.
The $2,000 we've got in tree and brush control, we've actually been, where did I go? We've actually been billing for this. It's just been recorded under a bulk fee.
Okay.
What we want to do is separate it out, so I would separate the estimates, and then what we're going to do is, this is one of the fees we want to bring forward with the budget hearing, so that it's formalized. In practice, we've been applying a tree and brush collection, just like bulk. So that's where that $2,000 comes from.
And I've got a question tagged onto that one. With EAB, trying to predict that, and I just have my concerns that maybe some of the tree budget should go up. Yeah, exactly.
With regards to
how many
debris disposal and things like that.
Yeah, and how many we're going to have to take down. So just food for thought.
I think, in 2020, we're covered.
We're okay.
But
2021, 2022,
we're going to have to look at increases.
Yeah. A couple more points here we should be able to get through. Wages are up in 41, which is our TID fund, and that's just from reallocating the funding. It's our administrator's time. We're reducing the $15,000. That's for the facade improvement program. We're just not seeing the activity there.
So we're just not putting money in.
We're going to put $5,000 there. If they need more, we can bring it to the board. Yeah. It's a standalone fund, too, so it's not affecting. Interest income, a little too optimistic in Fund 21 there. That one, I tweaked a little bit, too, and we should be pretty good with that because we moved those investments over to the state. Yeah. And the miscellaneous debits to surplus, that's a PSC account. And that was a loss on refunding. That's being amortized. It's fully amortized now. Pond maintenance is dropping, Sean?
That's in anticipation of getting a better price. I'm going to send out an RFP to two firms that are qualified to do the work. McMahon currently does the work, and I know that Robert E. Lee has the qualifications, the staff to come in and do this, the same work. So I'm hoping that by getting another quote, that I can get a lower price.
And you're also hoping that the group that we met with regarding grants.
There's that possibility. Yep. The Conservation Conservancy.
Yeah. So there are potentially
to get
grants
a grant
out there,
right,
to help us reduce that cost.
Do you want to just answer the last couple of those there?
Why are we increasing the gasoline and diesel fuel expense? I guess simply to match what we've been spending in the past couple of years and this year. The 386 account, I think that should be the 356 account.
Mm-hmm.
We have, on our garbage trucks, we have an automated arm, and they get a lot of use. Next year we'll be replacing one of those arms at an expense of $9,000. And then the year after next, we may be replacing another arm, depending on the condition of the truck. We're gonna use these trucks as long as we can before we buy new ones, and we have to continue to maintain them.
Could we go back to the gas and diesel fuel expense. That one I'm still a little uncomfortable with, in that if, let's say, total we've got between the two, it's 10,000 of diesel and 20,000 of gas. Our projection for 19 is 20 and 10, but we're proposing 30 and 15 for a total of 45. So we're going up from 30,000 projection of 19 to a budget of 45. And if that's the cost of fuel itself, and let's say diesel's at $3 a gallon, we're looking at proposing a diesel fuel per gallon price of $4.50. I'm not making that leap. If the projection for 19 was about 30 and 15, then it makes sense, but I'm missing that part of it, please.
And I think we're projecting to spend more than we budgeted this year. We had budgeted 20, and I'm expecting to spend close to 30,000.
I see that the diesel through July is above the 10,000, but gas doesn't look like it's on track for more than 20.
Is that weather related, that it's so high this year?
No, it could be.
Part of the problem with those two accounts within this equipment replacement fund, when the fuel is purchased, that's where it goes. As the fuel is used, it's coming out and getting charged to the other activities. What I'll do is I'll run the detail on those, just the fuel accounts, to see where it kind of shakes out with actual and estimated projected.
And
maybe we can tweak it
a little
bit.
And you can give us a better estimate of what we spent today.
Yeah. Sometimes you could hit your end, and if you just bought fuel, your gas could be real high in there because it hasn't been allocated out yet.
Yep.
So let me run the detail and see what it looks
like. There's a December 28th purchase. I get it.
Yep.
So I'd rather raise my hand.
No?
Julia, in that expense, the fire department's also included in there, but then they reimburse us.
They reimburse us. That's a revenue, yes. Yep.
So.
And the police, we charge right out to the general as they're using their fuel. I'll get that and see what it looks like. Estimated. Budgeted. I think that's pretty much what I had, what I wanted to touch on.
Question regarding just the overview.
Yep.
For increase in forestry, the Emerald Ash Board, we're only increasing it by $1,100. Is that going to take care of our needs for Emerald Ash Board?
For what we anticipate the workload for 2020, yes.
Really?
Yes. With regards to debris disposal, things like that, one of the things, working more hand-in-hand with the street department and our continuous improvement that we went through, and doing a better job of finding ways to dispose of it at less cost, things like that. So yes, for 2020 we're anticipating that, but like I said to Lynn before, 21, 22, 23 is going to continue to increase for that. The other thing too, we reallocated some of those numbers from the parks maintenance account to the forestry. So some of those labor costs, we took them away from the park maintenance and added them to it.
So we're spending about $1,100. Okay. Yeah, should we take a break? And do we have a bite to eat?
Well done, Matt. I had several of the same questions. So, nicely done.
Yes, thank you very much. We'll be back.
Thank you.